الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today's topic will be about a very important topic of our faith, and that is the topic of intercession. Now, intercession is something which is part of our faith, but our belief in intercession is totally different from the belief of the disbelievers. The disbelievers believe in the wrong intercession. Some of them believe that their messengers, for example, will save them of all their sins that they have committed in this life. And some of them will believe that even if they were faithful in Allah in a wrong way, that they will be receiving intercession. But in Islam, the intercession will never be received by someone who was not truly faithful in Allah, that is, believing in His oneness, worshipping Him alone. So if someone does not believe in God's oneness, the fact that He is one and no God is with Him, no Lord is with Him, no one is His associate or partner or of any relation to Him whatsoever, that He is the Creator, the Lord, the Master, and everything else is created and everything else is nothing but a creature of God and a worshipper and a slave of God. So if someone seeks an intercession in a wrong way, he will not receive it, he will be deprived of it. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will be the most high ranking of all people in the day of judgment. And do you know how would that be? Then he keeps on saying that Allah will gather all the past people and put them in one place in the day of judgment. Then the sun will be brought close to the heads of people, so the people will be tortured by this, and they will be feeling bad by this to the degree that they will not be standing it. So some people would say to the others, don't you see what kind of a miserable situation we are in? Don't you see how tough it is? Can't you look for someone who intercedes with your Lord? In other words, someone who will go to your Lord to save you from all this bad situation. So some people would say, let's go to Adam, the father of all mankind, and he was a prophet of God. So they will come to Adam and they will say, oh Adam, you are the father of all mankind, and what's more is that Allah has created you with His hands. That is, you were special because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created you with His own two hands, and He has ordered the angel to put the soul into you, and He has also ordered the angels to prostrate for you as an honor. We want you to intercede to God for us. Don't you see what we are in? Don't you see what hardship we have reached? He says, Adam says, that today my Lord has become so angry that He has never become angry before, and He will never become angry like this day. And also, He has forbidden me from the tree in paradise, and I disobeyed Him. So
I can save no one but myself. Go to someone else. Go to Nuh. Nuh. So they come to Nuh, may peace be upon him, and they will tell him, O Nuh, you are the first messenger to this earth, because all the nations before Nuh, from the time of Adam until the time of Nuh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all those generations were worshipping Allah alone. There were no shirk. But shirk started at the time of Nuh, when people started to worship the awliya, the saints. So that was the start of shirk, and that is why Nuh was sent to call people to tawheed, to worship Allah alone. So they will tell him, you were the first messenger to the earth, and Allah have called you in his book a thankful worshipper or a thankful slave. So intercede for us to your Lord. Don't you see what situation we are in? Don't you see how tough it is? So he says that, my Lord have become angry today so much that he has never become angry as much before, and will never become angry as much later on. And I had one call that I guarantee the answer from God, and I already made it. That is for Allah to destroy my nation, because Nuh asked Allah to destroy all his nation after the 950 years or more that he was calling them to Islam, calling them to worship Allah, but they insisted on associating partners to Allah. So when he was told by Allah that those people will never believe, Nuh asked Allah to destroy them, because if they don't believe, then there is no use for them. So he says, myself, I can only save myself. Go to Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they come to Ibrahim and they will tell him, you are the Prophet of Allah Most High, and you are his friend amongst the people of this earth. So intercede to us to your Lord. Don't you see what we are in? Don't you see how tough it is for us? And Ibrahim tells them that, my Lord has become angry today, such an anger that he has never come before, and he will never become later. And then he mentioned the few lies that he did in this life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, myself, go to someone else, go to Musa. So they come to Musa alayhi salam and they tell him that, you are a messenger of Allah. Allah have granted you by talking to you directly and by making you a messenger. So intercede to our Lord for us. Don't you see what we are in? And so on. So Musa says the same thing as Adam and Nuh and Ibrahim said. And he tells them, go to Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. So they come to Isa alayhi salam and they tell him, O Isa, you are the messenger of Allah, and you talked to people when you were an infant, and you were created by one word from God, and that is to be, and you were being, and you were created by sending the soul, which is Gabriel, to Mary, and we want you to intercede for us with your Lord. Don't you see what we are in? Don't you see how tough it is for us? He says the same thing as the prophets before him have said, but he didn't mention any sin that he has done. He said, go to other than me, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they will come, they will say, O Muhammad, you are the messenger of Allah, you are the seal of all prophets, the final prophet, the final messenger, and Allah has forgiven for you all your sins. So intercede to us to your Lord. Intercede for us to your Lord. Don't you see what we are in? And so on. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I stand up and start going towards my Lord until I come and I reach under the throne of God. So I prostrate under the throne of my God. I prostrate for my Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time will teach me to praise Him, a special praise, and a kind of praise that He has not taught anyone else before. Then He says, O Muhammad, raise your head, ask whatever you want and you will be given. Intercede and your intercession will be accepted. So in this hadith we find that even the most honorable messenger will not intercede directly until he is told by Allah, the owner of all intercession, to raise his head and to intercede. But before that he will not intercede for anyone. And he will raise his head and he will say, Oh my Lord, my nation, then he will be told, O Muhammad, take to paradise everyone in your nation that has no account from the right door of paradise. And then the rest of the doors are common doors for all people. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains that between each two gates of paradise there is so much distance, showing that it is so big that it is like between one country and another. So in this hadith we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intercedes for the people to be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be saved from the miserable situation when the sun is very close to their heads and when they will be sweating so much and will be they will be waiting for a long time. So in this hadith, this is an honor for our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is special of him, because there are other intercessions which are not special of our Prophet. All Prophets will intercede to take some people out of hellfire, and even some pious people will be interceding. Those who die for the sake of Allah will be interceding, and so on. But this kind of intercession is a special intercession for our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we notice in this intercession that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and prostrates under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He prays for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he comes, he does not ask Allah to intercede. He just prostrates until he is ordered by Allah to raise his head, and then he is ordered again to start interceding. Also in another two hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I will be interceding for those who have done major sins amongst my nation. Now in this hadith also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a limit will be set for me, and I will intercede within that limit, and then another limit will be set for me and I will be interceding within that limit. So in this hadith also we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be interceding by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whoever Allah wishes for to be interceded for. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا يشفعون إلا من بعد إذنه. No one can intercede except after his permission, after Allah's permission. ولا يشفعون إلا لمن ارتضى. And they will not be interceding except for those whom he is pleased with. Except for those whom he is pleased with. So if someone comes with the wrong faith, then that person has lost any chance for being interceded for, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never pleases the disbelief and rejection of faith. So there is no intercession for someone with the wrong faith, for someone who have associated partners with Allah. So anyone who has the wrong faith in Allah, should not wish for any intercession. No one will be interceding for him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book that no one will be interceding for someone whom Allah does not accept his faith. So in this matter of intercession, it is very important to put in mind that this intercession will be in the Day of Judgment, and that no one can seek this intercession before the Day of Judgment. So if someone now goes to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tells him, O Messenger of Allah, intercede for me, then he will be transgressing and he will be committing shirk, because first of all, he is asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something which no one can do but Allah, because all the intercession belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will permit the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment only to intercede for such and such person. So if you go and ask it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you are doing something which is meaningless, something which is wrong. You should ask it from Allah. You should say, O Allah, make the Messenger an intercessor for me in the Day of Judgment. That's okay. But if you go to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him anything, then you are committing shirk. So how about if you go to the grave of any other person and ask him things which cannot be asked except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as you go and ask him to heal your sick person, if you have a diseased person or you are diseased, and you ask him, or you ask him something, you ask him to make you rich, or you ask him to make you succeed in such and such, then you are committing shirk, great shirk. Then you will go out of Islam by this asking, and you have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important for us to know, because shirk is the only crime that Allah will never forgive. And intercession will not be given to someone who commits shirk. So if you commit this kind of shirk, you will be receiving no intercession. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the most happy people with my intercession will be those who worshipped Allah sincerely, those who said La ilaha illallah sincerely. So to say La ilaha illallah sincerely means that all your worship must be for Allah alone. So if you associate any worship with other than Allah, then you have not worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, and therefore you will not be deserving the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the intercession of anyone else, and none of your actions will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you die in the state of shirk. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. The topic today will be a continuation of the important topic of intercession, shafa'ah, on the Day of Judgment. As we mentioned in the last topic about intercession, it was clear that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah, the seal of all prophets, the last messenger, will be intercessing for all people to be held responsible for what they have done in this life, and that all people will go to Adam, and then they will go to Noah, and then they will go to Ibrahim and Moses, and finally Isa, who will tell them to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will come and he will prostrate under the throne of God, and then Allah will tell him to raise his head and to ask and intercess. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am the first one to intercess in paradise. And he said, no prophet before me have ever been believed like I have been believed. And he said that some of the prophets have only been believed by one man of their nation. Now in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is stating that he will be intercessing in paradise. This is another kind of intercession. We mentioned last time two kinds of our Prophet's intercession. The first intercession was for all people when they ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to intercess so that they will stand responsibility for what they have done, because they don't want to wait in that horrible situation that they will be in. The second intercession that we mentioned is the one regarding the sinners of this nation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be intercessing for the sinners of this nation. Now, this intercession is bound by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith, a bound will be made, or a limit would be made for me, and I will be intercessing within that limit. So this shows that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, all the intercession belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that they will not intercede except for those who Allah permits, or whom Allah permits for them to be interceded for. And they will not intercede except for those people who Allah is pleased with their actions. Therefore, no one can intercede for someone who died associating any partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because none of his actions will be accepted by Allah, and therefore Allah will not be pleased by his actions if he associates any partner to Allah, any son, any wife, anything which is considered to be companionship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for anyone to come associating any partners with Allah, he will not be interceded for by anyone, neither our Prophet nor any other Prophet nor anyone else. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned, said that he will intercede for those people who Allah tells him to intercede for, and not anyone who has been doing so many great sins will be interceded for. This is not the case, because we know from the book of Allah, and we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there will be sinners from this nation who will be tortured according to their sins, as much as they have sinned, as Allah wills, and then they will be taken out of hellfire if they have died not associating any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned this in the few last topics, that anyone who died with Tawheed, with the faith that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah, then he will not stay in hellfire forever. He will be taken out of hellfire if he is punished for his sins. But we also must know that those people who die on the faith that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah, they are subject to punishment if their sins are more than their good deeds. But after they are punished, they will be taken out of hellfire. No one but Allah knows how long one would be punished for his sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one true hadith, that a man will be taken out of hellfire after being there for 1,000 years. So this is not something to belittle or think that it is just few days or few months or few years. This is the belief of the nations before us. For example, the Jews were saying that we will be staying in hellfire for few days, for 6 days, and then we will be taken out, and then you will be replacing us in hellfire. Of course, that is their false wish. Otherwise, anyone who dies with any faith other than the oneness of Allah and worshipping Allah alone, he will not come out of hellfire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this hadith that he is the first intercessor in paradise. So there is an intercession in paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be interceding to raise the ranks of those who are in paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have other forms of intercession. He has an intercession to bring out people who are already in hellfire, to bring them out from hellfire. And he has an intercession to prevent some people who deserve to be put in hellfire not to be tortured, not to be put in hellfire. And of course there are other intercessions that we might mention later on. The fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he is the first intercessor, as in this hadith and in another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I am the first one to intercess and I am the first one whose intercession will be accepted. So this fact is very important, because there are many people who think that intercession can be achieved even right now before the Day of Judgment. So you find them go to the graves of pious people and they ask them to intercess for them, and this is a wrong belief. This is against Islam. And to go to someone who is dead and ask him intercession, this is actually rejection of faith. This is associating partners to God, because no one owns this intercession except Allah, except God. And he is the one who gives it to whoever he wishes in the Day of Judgment. So when you go and ask the intercession from anyone, even from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his grave, then you are associating partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because our Prophet in his grave right now, he cannot intercede for you. He will intercede on the Day of Judgment after the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you go and ask it from him right now, you are asking him something which he cannot do, which no one can do but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, you are associating him as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you do so. This is very dangerous. So no Muslim should go to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him to intercede for him or ask him anything else, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he is fully alive, but his life is totally different and totally separate from this life that we live in, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you will die, and he died. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book that Muhammad is only a messenger of Allah, so if he dies then you should not turn back from the faith. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive in his grave, that is a separate life, that is a different life, that is a life which is part of the life of the hereafter. It has nothing to do with our life here. That is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have assigned special angels to carry the salam of my nation to me. Now, if he was alive and if he was hearing us, then he would not have to wait for someone to carry the salam for him. And he also said in another hadith that anyone who says salam to me, Allah will bring back my soul to me so that I will repeat the salam, or I will answer the salam for him. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring back the soul to him so that he replies, this shows that originally he could not answer, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible for him to answer at that moment. So this is very important for us to know, that this is a fact in Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who you call who you call upon in the graves, they don't hear anything that you say to them, and even if they hear, they cannot answer. So we know that the dead people don't hear us. The fact that they are dead, that means all the means that they had to communicate with this life have gone, have vanished, have been destroyed. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. When the son of Adam dies, then all his actions will be cancelled. All his actions will be nullified. There will be no action. And of course, to hear someone, this is your action. And to reply someone, this is your action. So all those actions will vanish after death. Therefore, one should have the firm belief that he cannot talk to the dead people, and he should have the firm belief that they will not be hearing him except if Allah wishes so. But even if they hear him, they cannot answer him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. They cannot answer him in any way. And also, we know that the life after death is either complete happiness, part of the life in paradise, or similar to the life in paradise, or it is a complete punishment, something horrible. And therefore, in either way, the one who is living in happiness, he is not ready to leave that happiness and come to you and listen to you and all that. As a matter of fact, he cannot do that because he is in a different life, which is separate from this life, and that is why he is called dead, because there is no relation between him and this life anymore, and all his actions are terminated, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in the hadith. Now, in this hadith also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I am the most prophet to be believed and to be followed. Of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith that there are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have sent 124,000 prophets, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my followers are more than the followers of any other prophet, and my believers are more than the believers of any other prophet. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that amongst those prophets were one prophet who no one followed him except one man of his nation.
which shows that the truth is not told by how much followers you have. So the fact that this prophet has been followed by one man, he was telling the truth because he was a prophet and he was a messenger of God. He was telling the people of what God has been ordering them. Therefore, his message was true from God. So the fact that only one man followed him, this did not show that his message was deficient in any way or was false in any way. His message, since it was from God, then he was speaking the truth from God. So when someone finds himself amongst a little number of people who are following the truth, he should not be hopeless, and he should not think that he is excused to follow the false. No one is excused to follow the false, even if all mankind follow this falsehood. He has to be sticking to the truth, even if there is no one sticking to this truth but him. Then he is the group that everyone should come to, even if he was one. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, the truth is what matches the righteousness, even if it is followed by one person. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will come to the gate of paradise on the day of judgment and I will ask permission to enter. So the guard will say, who are you? And I will answer, Muhammad. He will say, it's with you alone I have been ordered to open this gate and not to open this gate for anyone before you. So from this hadith, it is clear that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be the first one to enter paradise, and his nation will be the first nation to enter paradise, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for every prophet there is an answered call which is assigned, and every prophet have used his call, and I have hidden my call to be an intercession for my nation on the day of judgment, so it will reach by the will of Allah everyone of my nation who dies not associating any partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any form. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that due to the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah have let every one of his prophets to have an answered call, one call that he guarantees for them to answer, and that all prophets have used their calls. For example, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he asked Allah to destroy his nation after he has known from Allah that his nation will not believe, and after he has called them to follow the truth for more than nine centuries. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that none of your nation will believe. So Nuh alayhi salam asked Allah to destroy his nation if no one is going to believe, because there is no use of them being alive. There will be harm. So every prophet had a guaranteed call, and he used it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our prophet, says that I have not used this call. I have hidden it for the Day of Judgment to be an intercession for my nation. And it will reach, inshallah, anyone of my nation who dies not associating any partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important, because there are many people nowadays who claim to be Muslims and who associate partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To those people, we tell them that you have no share at all in the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if you die as such. If you die associating any partners to Allah, then you will not have any share in his intercession, and you will have no chance to be interceded for by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I say this because there are many people who call themselves Muslims and they associate partners to Allah in one way or another by calling upon other than Allah, by calling upon the righteous people, the awliya, dead or alive, by believing in them certain things which are special of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe, for example, that those awliya can benefit and harm us in a way that no one can do but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is actually associating partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. And to take the orders from someone as if his orders are from Allah, as if his orders are the absolute truth, this is also associating partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take this life as the only life, and to consider the happiness in this life as the only happiness, and to be in such a position that all your deeds, all your actions are just made to live happy in this life, this is also associating partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, one has to be very careful. Associating partners to Allah does not only mean to put an idol or a picture and pray to it and prostrate to it. This is, of course, associating partners to Allah. If someone bows down or prostrates or in his heart submits to something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is a picture or a statue or a cross or whatever it is, then he is associating partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it is a grave of a pious man, if he stands near that grave in a way that he is fearing him in his heart, or in a way that in his heart he is desiring something from him that cannot be desired except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is worshipping him. If someone loves anyone like loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves him to the degree that he does not dare to differ from him, and he does not dare to disobey him no matter what he orders, then this kind of love is also associating him as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Amongst the people are those people who associate partners with Allah by loving them like loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows that if someone loves some person to the degree that his love for him is such type of love where he does not dare to disobey him, and he does not dare to differ from him, and he does not dare to make him angry in any way, then he is worshipping him with Allah, because this kind of love is for Allah alone. You have to love Allah
to this degree. And this is the, this love is worship actually. To love Allah means that you should not dare to disobey him, and you should not dare to accept anything which is different than his order and than his religion. And to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that you should desire all things from him alone, and trust him alone, and so on. So if you love someone else in this way, then you are associating a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, because this love is worship. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, due to his mercy for this nation, he has kept his guaranteed call for the hereafter to intercede for his nation. Also Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, one of the companions, may Allah be pleased with him, and may Allah be pleased with his father Amr ibn al-As, a believer, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he said, "Oh my Lord, they have taken away a lot of people from the right path," meaning the idols have taken the people away from the right path. "So he who follows me, then he is one of me, and he who disobeys me, he is not of me," and so on. This is the verse. Also the saying of Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, when he said about his nation, "If you punish them," meaning, "Oh Allah, if you punish them, then they are your slaves. And if you forgive them, then you are the Almighty, All Wise." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon reciting those two verses, he rose his hands and he said, "Oh Allah, my nation, my nation." And he cried, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asking Allah to forgive his nation and to do good to his nation, and he cried so that he makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listen to him and answer his call. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his angel Jibreel, "Oh Jibreel, go to Muhammad and ask him," and of course Allah knows best, "ask him what makes you cry." So Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he asked him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him what was the situation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "O Jibreel, go to Muhammad and tell him, we will please you in your nation and we will not harm you in your nation. So this is good news for anyone who worships Allah alone and believes in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and follows the only truth, and that is this religion of Islam. And he who dies in this state. Also, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that when this verse was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "You must give the call to your close kins." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was ordered to carry the truth to all people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered him to start with his relatives, his closest relatives. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon hearing this order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told the tribe of Quraysh, which was his tribe, he told them to gather and to come near to him. He called them by names, and then he said, "Oh such and such, save yourself from hellfire," until he called his daughter Fatima, who was a Muslim and who was following him. He said, "Oh Fatima, save yourself from hellfire." Then he said, "I do not own anything for you other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have assigned for me, or I cannot save you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But since you are my relatives, then I will do my best to give you your rights as my relatives. So of course these rights are in this life. So one becomes good to his relatives and so on, but he cannot save them from hellfire on the day of judgment. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making it very clear for everyone that no one can save anyone else from hellfire, and that everyone should do his best to save himself from hellfire by having the right faith and by doing the righteous actions. This is the way to save ourselves, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you have the faith, save yourselves from the save yourselves and your family from hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Save yourselves from hellfire, or guard yourselves against hellfire, even by spending as much as half a date. That means even by doing little, as much as you can. You must save yourselves from hellfire by doing what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that no matter how little you have, give it for the sake of Allah and save yourself from hellfire by action. Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked his nephew, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have you benefited Abu Talib, your uncle, with anything because he was protecting you and he was becoming angry with anyone who harms you in any way? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, yes, he will be in a state of the lowest punishment in hellfire, and had it not been for me, he will be in the lowest part of hellfire. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes it clear that he has a special intercession, and that is to intercede for his uncle Abu Talib, who died as a mushrik, who died as a non-Muslim, because he refused to say La ilaha illallah until he died. And at his death, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying his best to convince him to say La ilaha illallah. No one is worthy of being worshipped but Allah, but he insisted that he is following the religion of his ancestors, and he died in that state. So that is why he will be in hellfire, and he will not be taken out of hellfire, because no one who dies as associating partners to Allah will be taken out of hellfire. Everyone who dies in that state will stay in hellfire forever. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by his uncle Al-Abbas, who became a Muslim. He is asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Abu Talib. Did he benefit him in any way? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, I will intercede for him, and he will be in the lowest form of punishment. In other words, he will be receiving the lowest form of punishment, the least punishment. If it was not me, he would be in the most severe part of hellfire, and that is the bottom of hellfire. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the least punished one in hellfire is Abu Talib, meaning his uncle. He will be wearing a pair of shoes
from which his brain will be boiling. He will be wearing a pair of shoes made of fire, of hellfire. And from those shoes, his brain will be boiling, which shows that the punishment in hellfire is really severe, because this is the least punishment in hellfire, where someone will be wearing a pair of shoes of made of fire, and his brain will be boiling from those shoes. So the punishment of hellfire is something which is really severe. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that hellfire will be brought on the day of judgment with 70,000 points to be held from, and at each point there are 70,000 angels carrying it from that point. And he also said that your fire in this life is only one part out of 70 parts of the fire of the hellfire, meaning that the fire of the hellfire is 70 times as much as our fire in this life. And he also said that one drop of the food of the people of hellfire in this life will spoil everything in this life, will make everything tasteless. So this shows the severity of the punishment of hellfire. On the other hand, the paradise for the believers will be to the contrary, will be so big and so wide, and people will be so happy receiving everything that they wish for due to the mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a matter of fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith that the smell of paradise, the good smell of paradise, will be felt or will be smelled in 500 years distance, from a 500 years distance, meaning that paradise will have such a nice smell that will be smelled from 500 years distance. And of course the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned also that in paradise there will be such and such houses made of gold, made of pearl, and so on and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned in his book regarding the paradise that in it everyone will have what he wishes, and that no one will find any form of misery or unhappiness. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about paradise, that people will never become unhappy in it, and they will never become in a state where they are hopeless, or they are sorry, or so on. So this shows that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is above our description, and that the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have prepared for the believers is something beyond our description. Also, the hellfire is something beyond description.